The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to do something that I'm really excited about bringing to you, and that is this whole cottage industry of coaches that say they can make your kids better, coaches that say they can make you better, and it's all in the sports world. It is being, it's something that I've experienced firsthand, having had kids in the high school space for 20 years, and now it's bled over actually to the pros. I had a friend who is an offensive line coach in the NFL who said, you won't believe what happened. This was this last year. A couple of the players said, well, that's not how my mentor, my coach, my whisperer, that's not how this guy taught me how to do it. And so they pushed back. It used to be youth pitching coaches. It used to be that was the whole deal. Well, my pitching coach, and so the high school coach is just trying to do his thing, or the minor leaguers are trying to do their thing. And so players come up in a way where, I'm not really going to listen to what you have to say. There's also on every street corner, it feels like to me. Yesterday, I'm in downtown Chandler. I'm at a business meeting. I have somebody who comes over and sits next to me, and they immediately get in on me about how they're going to do a combine for kids. And, you know, I've heard this pitch 100 times of people wanting to make money off of kids. It's fine if that's what you want to do, but I tend to look at the high school coach as the first point of reference, and that is changing and changing in a big way. So I felt like, you know, with our platform, I'm going to find some spaces to bring some voices of people that I've come in contact with through the years that I respect, that I believe are in it for the right reasons, that I believe are going to be truthful and straight up with people. There's nothing worse. I grew up with a single mom, okay? I grew up with a single mom, and she did everything possible to get me to get to camps and to go to this and to go to that. And she was shelling out money that she didn't have. And so I saw it firsthand, and I vowed when I became a dad that, like, I'm not going to give in this. You have to go to the latest and greatest when there are people that can help you get to your path. And what I found through the years, there's a lot of people that make false promises, and then I'm told, well, you're not supposed to be the dream killer. You're going to kill a kid's dream. Well, let me fill you in on something on that one. When your kid has a certain metric in terms of height, weight, and it doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter male or female, and the GPA doesn't equate, and yet parent, daddy baller, mommy baller, dad with daughters who's bitter he doesn't have sons and treats his daughters like sons and wishes they played football, I've come across all of them. When this happens, I just kind of ask, what's the GPA and what are the metrics? And okay, best of luck to you. Aren't you going to do something on our kid? No. No. The GPA doesn't work. Okay. And maybe there's issues and reasons as to why GPA doesn't work. In this era that we're in with COVID right now and kids studying from home and now coming back into the classroom, it's been disorganized. It has been. And I'm not blaming the school system because they were caught off guard with all this. Some kids don't have good internet. Some kids don't have a laptop. Not every kid is lucky enough to be two parent and have money coming in and having everything given to them in the midst of a pandemic. So you have to look at it and say, all right, is there something with this kid? So today we're going to hear from a guy named Larry Graham. Larry Graham runs APE, okay? And Larry is someone I met through Brock Purdy and Chubba Purdy years back. The Purdy boys trained over with Larry. Larry's in the Southeast Valley. Larry is in it for the right reasons. His place is packed. It's not just kids. I've seen guys and girls my age, they're in there in their 50s doing their thing. But when it comes to kids at the college level and high school level, I think a lot of you parents start thinking early on, oh my gosh, we have to do this. We got to get into this camp and this camp and this place and this trainer and that trainer. And this is how the path is. And it's not. I can tell you full confidence, it is not. So that's going to be some of today's show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. And by the way, if you want to email me about how you've had a good experience with this coach or that coach, it's fine. I already have my list. I do. And it's just, there's some people that I would never put on this show, and I'm not going to sit here and trash them. It's not happening. It's not happening. And quarterback whispers are everywhere, and there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. Combines are everywhere. There's some good ones and there's some bad ones. There's a really good combine in 2 weeks that is being put on at Pinnacle High School, and they're charging $40 for the day, and there's going to be 10 colleges that are going to be there and represented, and they're NAIA, and they're Division III and Division II. That's where most of you should start. But no, we have to go to the Notre Dame camp because we want to impress the neighbor next door that doesn't even like us, and we don't even like them. We have to go to the Stanford camp. We have to go, and we're going to go all these places the kid isn't ready or isn't going to make it. So that's my thing, and that's, I'm looking forward to Larry. All right, the sports stuff. I'm going to get into the Suns deeper in the next segment. But tonight, this is actually a few days where I should be in a fairly good mood. The Diamondbacks are playing Miami. They stink. The Suns play Cleveland. They stink. The Suns play Atlanta after that. So they're in a stretch here down the final games, final eight games, I believe it is, where there should be a lot of victories to talk about. They finished with two against San Antonio. And, yeah, the Spurs ripped them a couple weeks back. It's like the dog days of the NBA. Am I going to sit here and panic if the Suns drop 6 of 8? Well, I don't see 6 of 8 losses coming down the stretch. Yeah, they have the Knicks. That'll be a fun game. Yeah, they play the Lakers. The Lakers are this, this is one of the things that is wrong about sports, but I get it. We're going to sit here and watch this drama unfold of, will the Lakers be able to come back, and will Anthony Davis be able to play because his numbers this year haven't been good? I've seen a lot of stuff on the internet, just people crushing him because they have nothing better to do with their time. And the facts are the Lakers won the championship. They didn't finish up until late September. LeBron wasn't happy about the turnaround and coming back. That's his deal. I don't buy for a minute that those guys couldn't have played if it were the postseason. I don't buy that for a minute. So what's going on right now is, well, too well to attend, too well to play, injured here, nicked up there. As long as you can make it in, yeah, the playoff game is silly. Yeah, the playoff game is stupid. It devalues the play-in game hurts the Suns. It does. The way that you have this postseason for the final four teams to get in this year, where you have 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Hurts the Suns because they don't know. They're not going to have 2 weeks, 3 weeks to sit here and say, that's the team that we're going to play. But the league has made it so that the back end of the season, when set of playoff positions all laid out and teams can win games, hold players back, lose games, that's a better matchup. We're not going to play everybody tonight. If we lose, so what? It's an end of season game and the fans aren't going to know. That stuff happens. If you think that it's just, oh my gosh, every night they're playing their tails off, for the most part, no. They're moving around in position. And so I don't sit there and get all aghast that, oh wow, you know, Oklahoma City almost beat the Suns the other night. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, they can't be focused and all that stuff. Who cares? We're filling time to get to the postseason is my point. The Lakers are the sixth seed. Do I buy for a minute that they're sitting there saying, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs. What are we going to do? No. No. It makes for fun conversation. Makes for doing shows like this a barrel of monkeys. A lot of fun. But, hey, come on. So they play Cleveland tonight. The Cavaliers were known by the great Peter Vesey as the Cadavers. And they are the Cadavers this year. They've lost 11 of 13. They're 21 and 43. They're not good. When Colin Sexton is your leading scorer, that's not going to work. So the Suns should roll all over them tonight. Should Monty be resting players? I don't know. DeAndre Ayton the other night didn't play well against Oklahoma City. He just didn't. So I'll have more on the Suns here in a bit. Russell Westbrook. I'll save Russell for the next segment too because there's some stuff there. Did you see the DK Metcalf story? DK Metcalf has entered into a 100-meter dash this Sunday at the USA track and field event. And when we saw DK Metcalf racing down the sidelines against the Arizona Cardinals, not allowing a touchdown, it's like, okay, he can do this. But I love this. I love this. You know, high school kids want to go to all these combines to dovetail on what we're going to do a little bit later on. But they don't want to run track. And college coaches tell me, yeah, we're looking at track times. But Daddy Baller doesn't want to hear that. or the high school coach that says they're all about the kid doing everything, and they're really not. They're just, you got to be out here for football, 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 football. So I like this for DK Metcalf. This should send the right message. Look, if you are fast, if you've got it, if you want to show off your skill, then run track. So this is good news that DK Metcalf is doing this. I'm actually in favor of it. The Diamondbacks are 15-13. They play the Marlins, and Miami's not good. The Diamondbacks are throwing Riley Smith tonight. I don't know if I walked into Riley Smith today, because we're not allowed to see players or walk up to players in the locker rooms. If Riley Smith were in front of me at a Fry's and I was getting groceries, I wouldn't know Riley Smith at all. But I know this, the Diamondbacks are meeting a team that's hitting 225. So Riley Smith should not be serving up batting practice tonight. Miami can't hit. Take care of business. And did you see this story with the Dodgers? So at the beginning of the year, it's, oh my gosh, the Dodgers have all this depth. Dustin May, great pitcher, great pitcher. Down, gone. Gone for this year and probably part of next year. Shut down, Tommy John surgery. So the Dodgers take a nick. You know, we're sitting here in the first week of May, and the Giants are in first place. The Dodgers are behind them a little bit. The Padres and Diamondbacks, they're all within striking distance. Colorado's already out of it. General manager's already walked away and said, peace, I'm out. So I'm looking at things like Dustin May goes down, and yeah, the Dodgers are the type of team that can go find a replacement like that. But the longer the season stretches out and the more adversity it's thrown at them, they're hanging around without Cody Bellinger. They're hanging around now without Dustin May. They're hanging around. But is this the year? You got to have those breaks. You got to have that luck. All right. That's some of what is on my mind. I also want to do in the next segment, who's in trouble in town? We've not done this in a while. Who's in trouble? And I'm going to go through each one of the coaches and managers of the major sports here, because today, as I was making out my show sheet, there are more coaches that are in trouble here in town, meaning we're going to have firings, we're going to have replacements. And I'm going to talk about each one of them on the other side. The fatigue on Larry Fitzgerald. And then Larry Graham will be with us from APE a little bit later on. I'm Brad Sussmat on a Tuesday. All right, we're going to play the game show of who's in trouble, because I think it's about time. We've been so caught up in draft and the Suns and all that stuff, we just have not taken the time. So let's just go through this. This is in the Valley. This is professional sports as I see it right now. Who's in trouble and who's not? The easy one to me, the only guy that I believe is completely safe a year from now, completely safe, is Monty Williams. So Monty's work, it speaks for itself, the job that he's done. He's been terrific. And when he was hired, we felt like this was a great, great hire. When he said no to the Lakers, that was a great, great hire. All the adversity that Monty Williams has been in his life, stuff that's unimaginable, losing your wife in an automobile accident, and then going underwater and coming up for air and trying to figure it out and then get back into the game and have people come after you. Monty has been terrific. I'll work in reverse order on this. Herm Edwards isn't in trouble, but the expectation for Arizona State football this year is unreal. I refer to that as next year university. I'm not going to take credit for that. Doug Haller is the one that will take credit for that over at The Athletic. Next year university always says, this is going to be the year. Or we're 2 years away. And I've been hearing that for 20 years. So this is not a year to go to the Sun Bowl. There's no excuse. If they go to a Sun Bowl, it's not a good year. If they beat the U of A and go to the Sun Bowl, it's not a good year. Please understand that. When you beat your rival 70-7 and you don't go to a bowl game, if you want to call that your bowl game in the pandemic, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to argue with you on it. But Herm's in a space where it's 17 wins and 13 losses. And I'm one that said, in Ray I Trust, wrote it, feel it. Not sitting here saying Herm's in trouble at all, but anybody who's not going to sit here and say, well, you know what, if they go 7-5 and go to El Paso, we're just happy with that? No. No. They've got to go to Pasadena and play a game that's not against UCLA. They've got to go play in a Pac-12 championship game. Not, well, we came close. It would be nice if I'm going to hear everything about how awesome and amazing recruiting classes are. in a day and age where kids can, like that, transfer portal. I'm out. I'm not getting the ball enough. I don't care how many wins we have. I'm not getting the ball enough. So I think there's some storm clouds around Herm if this team doesn't have a bunch of wins this year. It doesn't mean that Ray's going to walk in there and say, you're done, in my opinion. It may mean that Herm says, yeah, you know what? I've taken this about as far as I can take it. I don't need to do this. Antonio, take over, or whomever, whatever direction they go. Because I'm not convinced Antonio Pierce would stay here and take the job. I'm not. Other gigs that are out there. Torrey Lovello, if I'm working backwards, Torrey Lovello should not be in trouble, in my opinion, given the roster that he has been dealt. Now, there's some people that don't like Torrey Lovello's style of managing. I look at Torrey Lovello and say, look, if you're given players at certain positions or you've had to adjust and had really good guys taken away from you, and the trades that were made, and I'll go to the Goldschmidt deal, although now that one is starting to look a little bit better, finally. Anybody who's going to argue that the Goldschmidt deal was great the first couple of years, you're wrong. It wasn't. Looking a little better. Rick Tocchet's going to get fired. So now I'm through the list of who is, in my opinion, safe or should be safe. Rick Tocchet's going to get fired in a couple weeks. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not down on Rick Tocchet. It's just the tea leaves of the Coyotes and everything I'm hearing around town is this ownership group, general manager came in, Rick Tocchet in big trouble. They're not going to make the playoffs. He's gone. Cliff Kingsbury. Okay, so the Super Cardinals have not been to the playoffs in 5 years. 5 years, and I get going through rebuilding for a year or two, but in the National Football League, if you can't get the thing turned around by about the third year, things are going to change. This organization has a history. Go look it up. Pretty easy to do. Google Cardinal coaches and look at the length of time, unless their last name is Wisenhunt or Arians. Look at the length of time that they each had to try to get the thing figured out. And on average, it's about 3 years. So after all the money that's been spent, after getting all these free agents to come in, and I think that was the way they had to go because they had so much failure in the draft, they had to go that direction. Okay, so now it's on Cliff. This is Cliff and Kyler's year. The fan base, if they don't make the postseason, and, you know, you're a miraculous, unbelievable catch away against Buffalo last year to having the last two games not mean a thing. So it's not like this has been a juggernaut. Got to show it. But I think Cliff's in trouble. I think the coach at the top of the list that I feel like the seat is the warmest on, the hottest on, is Bobby Hurley. And I don't feel like pulling the plug on Bobby this last year would have been the right move by Ray Anderson. There are people that are really down on Bobby. He had to coach through the pandemic. Everybody else had to coach through the pandemic. I get it. Did you see what the other teams in the Pac-12 did? Yes, I did. Did Bobby roll the dice and take a couple of one and dones? Yes, he did. Is it a bad look when Bagley and House, well, let's go one by one. When Jalen House, whose dad is a great Sun Devil, and says, you know what, I'm out. Is that a bad look? Yes. When Marcus Bagley is saying, you know what, I am going to put my name in, but I'm not going to sign with an agent, but I'm going to put my name in the transfer portal at the same time, that's a bad look. Okay, let's just call it as is. I think Bobby got caught up in the Sean Miller world, which is I'm going to get a whole bunch of one and dones, and we're going to go out and we're going to kick ass and take names and we're going to win it all. Most every fan I knew last, you know, September, October, can't wait for basketball. Oh man, they're going to be great. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be amazing. And I remember Seth Greenberg, after the very first game, we had Seth Greenberg on from ESPN. He said flat out on the air, he's like, man, Remy Martin didn't like playing with Josh Christopher. Terrible body language. And there were other factors with Remy Martin. But this is clearly a prove-it year to Bobby Hurley. It is. And there's other factors at Arizona State that have to be taken into account. The arena's a dump. It's coming up on its 50th year. Can you believe that? It's its 50th year. And when I hear people say, well, you know, I went to school there and back in the 60s and it was great. It was awesome. And what are you talking about? And, you know, we were able to win games back in the day. Like, are you hearing yourself? Facilities have to get upgraded. That facility is an eyesore. The way it's explained to me is if football wins, then basketball will be, and they play in front of a full stadium. That's a big, big little, big part of this whole conversation. If football wins in front of packed stadiums, then the dollars will be there to fix up the antiquated building. The problem with that is, one, we don't know if they're going to have packed stadiums. We think, we don't know. Two, the early games in the season never are packed. They're not. And are people even going to want to go back to games very early on? Because they've gotten so close, they put the money into their houses. Are they going to use their disposable income to go on a trip to Maui because they haven't traveled anywhere? Or are they going to want to go see ASU play a football game at home in September? So it's, I think Bobby's in a space where if he's reliant on having football win in order to get the arena, that's just not going to be a recipe that's going to go well, in my opinion. The other story in town that I'm getting from people is the fatigue of Larry Fitzgerald. This is not a rip job on Larry. It's just I think people are kind of like, okay, if you want to come back, great. If you don't want to come back, it's fine. That we're still sitting here in May, and now that the draft has passed, you know, my view on it, some agents' views on it was Larry, the Cardinals, it was all about draft compensation. Teams that want to give up draft compensation. Cardinals go out, they use a draft pick on another wide receiver out of Purdue in the draft. Is that enough for Larry Fitzgerald to say, you know what, peace out, I'm done? Or, you know what, I like being part of this receiving core. I'm able to do some other things. Pretty clear that as we sit here in May, to me, the only thing that's clear about this is he still wants to play because the peace out retirement speech could have happened through Players Tribune or wherever, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, month ago, 6 weeks ago. We're in May. And this is still dragging on. And I think fans are just kind of like, you know what? He's been great. Yes, he has. He's going to go in the Ring of Honor. Yes, he will. He is going to be part of the front office. Yeah, maybe. He could run for governor. Yep, he could. And he'd win. He can do all that stuff. But in terms of playing football at the Cardinals, I'm starting to get into people saying, we'll see. Russell Westbrook last night had 14 points, 24 rebounds, and 21 assists. Russell Westbrook has had 178 career triple-doubles. And yet when people talk about the best players in the NBA, very seldom do you get the Russell Westbrook as number. It always goes back to the usual suspects. It is LeBron. It is Giannis. Is Russell even mentioned 3, 4, 5, you know, the Joker up in Denver. So we're talking about Big Steph over at Golden State. There's 4. You know, you have the fans here in Phoenix that think Devin Booker is a top 5 player. I would disagree. Devin Booker is a nice player who's probably somewhere towards 10. But, you know, you put all this together and you see the numbers that Russell Westbrook has put up. It's unbelievable. Because, look, if you're all you're doing is shooting, it goes back to the Carmelo Anthony days when Carmelo would hit like 10 of 32. People say, oh, man, Melo's great. No, he's not. He missed 21 shots last night. He's pounding nails into the floor. Russell Westbrook's got to go after 24 boards. He's got to give up the ball 21 times to get guys in position. Like, it's phenomenal what he's doing. Phenomenal. Love watching him play. One thing on the Suns tonight, is DeAndre Ayton going to bounce back? He didn't play well the other night. Well, he's just a kid. Okay, playoffs are coming up. Can't use that. He's just a kid. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do that. Well, they've never been this far before. It's easy to do, but I'm not going to be one that accepts that. I don't want just a nice regular season team, and when they come to the playoffs, it's a team that falls apart. I'm just not about that. Larry Graham is next. Something different I've been wanting to do on the stream show. I'm going to put it in some TV episodes as well. And that is some names and faces of people that are involved in the training of young athletes, high school and college. And they do work. Like Larry could train you. He kicked my tail. He's got these puke buckets over at the side at APE that I've seen. But I met Larry through Brock Purdy and Chubba Purdy. And I really believe he's in it for the right reasons. Larry Graham is next on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. I've said I want to continue giving you some voices that I respect that are doing it, I think, the right way out there when it comes to workouts for kids and adults and sports. There's this whole industry of where do I go to get workouts? How do I go about workouts? How much is too much? And all of that. So I'm going to bring you some names, some faces, some voices that I become familiar with that I believe do it the right way. One of those is Larry Graham. Larry is an ape. Ape is on the, what would you say, Larry, the southeast side of the valley, right?
Yes, yes. So it's going east, only the... It'll be the northeast.
Northeast side of the valley. All right. So we'll start from there. What makes APE, first of all, what is APE, Larry? What is it you do that you look at and say, we do it right here at APE? What is it?
APE stands for Athletes Performance Enhancement. I created the name solely because I wanted to dial into the aspect of performance and what can we do to help kids to improve it. So I knew the word athletes had to be a part of the situation. And then I wanted to make sure I have a description of what my meaning would be. So I took my time and strategically named it Athletes Performance Enhancement. And the whole sole purpose was to be able to give kids a platform, a bridge from non-activity to activity. You see so much in today's youth sports where kids will actually leave the house, mom and dad playing tabletop games and videos. And they right into a team where they expected to be into mass performance. So we want to be that bridge to give kids a chance to identify their body, know who they are, know more about their moving parts. So when they get out there in the field and they have to compete, they're for adequate.
Larry Graham with APE, with APE, with us for a few minutes. And again, this is a voice that I believe does it the right way. When I say do it the right way, from my view, it is you make it about the kids. But there's people out there that I'll see that are at your place that are not just kids. They are performers in their mid-20s, 30s, even older.
Yes, yes. We just had it this morning. We had Kyrie Woods, who's a cornerback that just graduated out of San Diego State. Isaiah Swan, who graduated from Dartmouth. These both guys entered into the pro ranks this year. Isaiah Swan is just, you know, from Dartmouth last year was his draft year. He had an issue when he went to the camp with the Bengals and his knee. They didn't clear him for his knee, so he had to come out one year, do some rehabs. And right now he's going to go through the Canadian Football Leagues. He's been training right now throughout the offseason. Kyrie Woods, another kid that had a stellar career. And both, you know, Kyrie Woods and Isaiah both played at Chandler High School when that dynasty first started out up under Coach Iguana. And Kyrie Woods, like I said, he just graduated this past semester from San Diego State University, and he will be preparing for the draft this year. And then we got one of my good guys, Dustin Woodard, who's back training right now after taking a year off. He could collect himself a little bit. He's had some good news talking to Coach Belichick. So he's looking to go back in towards camp. So I got three NFL grade guys here at 5 a.m. on the grind.
Larry, when someone comes in and they say, okay, what am I going to get out of APE? What is it that makes you different?
The engagement, the integrity. Perfect example, I had one parent come to me and a kid named out in Singapore Post Abute, and he wanted to work out with us and train, but you know, one of the things we do, we stress his grades. If you look at our vision board, we have VCA, Vision Commitment Action. And under vision, we understand what their driving force is and what's important to them. We engage what matters to the kid. When I do a consultation and the parents are sitting in front of me and the kid's right there, we ask the kid right there, you know, separately from anyone's opinion, what means something to you? What drives you? What makes you happy? We want to make sure we can know how to engage with that athlete. Once we find out what, and it might be, Brad, it could be football, it could be baseball, hockey, tennis, or soccer, whatever it may be. Or it might be a kid might want to be a participant and just actually want to be a part of a school program and enjoy the athletic aspect of it as a student athlete. But then you might have ones who might want to be a performer. And once we can identify what the kid's desires is and what their intentions are, we connect to that particular desire that means something to the kid. And if it's sports and at a level where they want to be preparing for an elite status with the team or a team where they can find themselves as being a contributor past more just being a participant, but actually being an impact player on that team, then we put them into performance training. If it's a kid that may come to us that may want to actually improve their self-esteem and feel better about themselves, we would take that athlete and we would service them as well. But once we do that, Brad, we then ask them about their grades. And I'll give you a classic example. There's one kid we had. When I had him go on his phone and pull up his Canvas, he had two Fs. And I said, son, there's no way we can enroll you right now. And your dad looked a little astonished, but nobody at the end of the meeting said, you know what, I appreciate you. Because if you had integrity, most people just take my card and want to get the kid enrolled and have them and off into training, but the academics wasn't taken care of. But and this kid now, to my joy, just sent me a text and said, Coach L, I want to send you a screenshot and my updates, my grades. And now he's eligible to come to eighth. So after 4 weeks of him doing tutoring, that was a motivation for him to see how important academics are. So that's what separates eight. But one thing about us is the engagement. Here, we want to make sure the kids get involved in the experience of growth and development, not just on the athletic aspect of it all, but on the holistic aspect of the kid being a good human being, a productive citizen going into society once they graduate from school.
Larry, there are a lot of places that do the training that say, well, don't listen to your strength coach at the high school. He doesn't really know what he's talking about, or even at college. Not experienced that from you and being around you some. What is your philosophy on how you work with the high school kid and the high school weight coaches?
The first thing we do, Brad, is we make sure we don't conflict with the schools. And you know me, I've been around all of them from the time when Iguana was here and he was at Chandler, to Coach Zuby at Higley, to Coach Z right now up at Hamilton. I've been naming coaches all day long. Coach Campbell over at Williamsfield. All we out as far out as Castile, the head coach over there. All these coaches know us, and they know that our programs align with them. So what we do the fundamentals. We do the execution process. We train them. We get kids to understand the dynamics of functional training, the alignment techniques, integrities, and integrals, what it takes for a kid to avoid injury. We help them also with the coaching staffs and their strength programs to service kids. When you look at an average weight room, the minimum is going to be about 45. The maximum could be 85. So you got anywhere from 45 to 85 kids in 1 hour to 6 hours trying to get a workout in. Good luck with that. I mean, how much service can you truly render to a kid with maybe one staff member on the floor, maybe two at the most, and kids are still in the development phase? And what I mean by development phase, I'll give you a perfect example. I just told you Isaiah Swan, who had a stellar career at Dartmouth and academic achiever at there as well and got his degree. But his strength has increased over 30% since he graduated from Dartmouth. And, you know, he was a three-year starter at Chandler High School under Guam. Mm-hmm. And then the full gamut of training, strength training at Dartmouth University, which is a MAC university in the Ivy League. But he got here and got the supplemental training that he needed to develop his lat muscles, his core muscles, to increase more strength and power. So what we do here, we don't conflict with coaching staffs. We make sure we talk to the kid when they come from their prospective high schools. We find out what their workout consists of that day. And do we do it called fill-ins? So it was a leg day. Well, we know how much of the leg day did they get a chance to accomplish? Did they do bilateral training? Did they have balance techniques inside that? Do they have a prowler where they can work on drive chain? Do we have single band movements? These are auxiliaries that we do from the lower peripherals that give these kids an advantage. And our kids, and you can check through the valley, if they wear the ape shirt, they're going to be the marquee kids in the weight room.
Good stuff, Larry. Appreciate the time and the visit. Get back to work. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
It's Larry Graham. And again, APE, that's one of the places, as I'm doing this series, you're going to see lots of people that will come up on the screen that I've dealt with, that I've talked to, that I feel like they're in it for the right reasons. And Larry clearly is one of those guys. And we're back with more after this timeout.